Scripture reading this morning will be from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls.
This morning, also like to welcome our visitors. Would like to say that you're 1 week early. We all are looking forward to having Larry with us, and Lord willing, he'll be preaching for us next week. This morning, what I'd like to take just a few minutes to talk about is a race in which we are all involved. The text is what was read for us just a moment ago. And what we're going to need to do as we think about this race, we are going to need to find ways in which we can throw off or lay aside anything that is going to wind up hindering us from completing this race. We're going to have to lay aside any sin that we find that is going to so easily entangle us. And we're going to need to run with perseverance. We're going to need to run with endurance. To do that, we have some ways in which this text begins to point out that if we fix our eyes on Jesus, this is going to assist us in this race. And as we do this, we need to consider him who endured that opposition, that hostility from sinful people. And as we do that, we need to find ways in which we don't grow weary and we lose heart. I think we're all familiar with this particular analogy or this comparison that's made here between the athlete or the runner who is striving to compete in a particular event. We make that comparison to the Christian and the life that we live in our walk of faith. I was reading about a cyclist who went out and bought all new gear for this upcoming race, bought a wickedly expensive bicycle that was aerodynamic. He was ready for this new race. So happy that the race had finally gotten here, got all the right clothing. But the day of the race, there was a 20-mile-an-hour headwind, and it was blowing rain the whole time. And so he wound up having to wear a rain suit with this great bike that now is no longer aerodynamically fitted for this particular race. And it was probably one of the worst races that this person had ever competed in because of the conditions for that day. And I think we can find ourselves in similar situations where we feel like we are equipped, we feel like we are ready to tackle those things. But then sometimes if we don't have the endurance that we need, then that race is going to be difficult. When we talk about our faith, and we talk about how do we describe it? Do we use words like steadfast? Do we use resolve? Do we talk about it being a faith that can persevere? I looked up the definition of persevere. I really liked what it had said. It says that it is to persist in anything that is undertaken. We maintain a purpose in spite of difficulty, obstacles or discouragement. That's what we need to finish this race. We need to be able to maintain our purpose despite all the things that this life throws at us. Paul also describes this race in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. You turn with me there. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified." So this morning, for the few minutes that we have, I'd like to talk about running in such a way that we can obtain it, and that we should run this race with endurance that has been set before us. Because this race has been set before each and every one of us here this morning. The Hebrew writer goes on to tell us in the 12th chapter, "Therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet." It's because we're in a race, and there's a few directions that we need to make sure that we follow. Back to our text for this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about the need to lay aside some things. The need to have endurance. And we're going to talk about the need to find focus or purpose in our life. When we look at the need to lay some things aside, again, we make this comparison to this athlete who is competing in a particular race. That runner, again, he's seeking after that prize. And again, that is a physical prize. It is not something that, as we think about our spiritual walk, but this is temporal in nature. That particular runner is going to find a way in which, in his training, that they're going to lose as much weight as they can possibly can without hindering their performance. Or they're going to find the right gear for the particular race that's coming up. And when we're talking about professional athletes, we're talking about grams, not pounds and not ounces. I know really good ways to lose 5 or 10 pounds off my bike, and it's not because of the equipment I put on there, it's myself. I can find ways to shed a lot more pounds than just buying some more expensive pedals or the better shoes. But consider this runner who's getting ready for this particular race. Because they're going to wear the right clothing and the right synthetic material that allows for the right type of movement, the shoes to be the lightest they can, because they don't want to be encumbered during this particular race. But think about the runner who perhaps it's a long race that's coming up. Do you think that runner is going to say, "Well, this is a fairly long race. I probably ought to bring my cell phone with me. And if the race allows it, I'll probably bring an iPod. And it's a rather long race, so I might pack a bag and put a change of clothes in there. Because, you know, at the end of this long race, the car is so far away from the finish line. And I'd like to have a change of clothes there when I get done. So maybe I'll bring a backpack or something like that." That's not the way that runner is going to be thinking about that upcoming race. That runner is going to find a way to shed everything they possibly can to run as fast as they possibly can. And when we talk about laying some things aside, look at this verse. It says, "Lay aside every weight and sin." That tells me that there are some weights that we carry around that aren't necessarily sin. It's just weight. And that becomes a problem. Because if it's weight while we're racing, we're just dragging that along with us. That weight is causing us to slow down our spiritual growth and our progress. Some examples. It might be our schoolwork. It might be our jobs. It might be the things that we choose to do as recreation. Our hobbies. Anything that we decide that we're going to put in front of God or before God, it's just a weight. And you're just dragging it along with you. But it also mentions that there's sin. It mentions that the sin that easily ensnares us. Why does it so easily ensnare us? Because we leave it right there at our feet. And we don't push it away. Luke reminds us in the 21st chapter of Luke, and again, these were first century Christians. These are people just like us. They came out of what we would consider the old man. And they came out with a lot of weight. But also they came out of sin, just like we did. 21st chapter of Luke, starting in verse 34. "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life." Cares of this life and drunkenness are put in the same sentence. Both are the things that we should be weary of. Cares of this life and the day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all of you who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. I've gone a little bit further. I wanted to read through verse 36 there. We also find other sections in Colossians, the third chapter, where we talk about things like anger and wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. These things, the writer tells us, we must rid ourselves of. We must lay aside all of these things. 1 Peter, the second chapter, "Therefore, rid yourselves, lay aside all of the malice, all the deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, that you now have tasted that the Lord is good." James, the first chapter, in the 21st verse says, "Therefore get rid of all moral filth." Lay aside those things and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word that is planted in you, which can save you. And then we're reminded in 1 Corinthians by Paul, in the 6th chapter, where he says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor male prostitutes, or homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, or drunkards, slanderers, swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. And that was with some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." That weight or that sin will make running this race difficult, if not impossible. Are you carrying around a weight with you? Are you dragging that weight with you? Or that sin? We need to cast it aside. We also need to have endurance. I think many times when we think about this race that we're involved in, I think we might have the tendency to think about this race as still in the distance. It's sometime in the future. The race really hasn't begun for me yet. Maybe once I finish high school, maybe once I get through and complete my degree, maybe after the children are grown, after those things, I'll get more serious about spiritually minded things. Because I've got my whole life in front of me. Well, the need for endurance is because this race began a long time ago for each and every one of us. When we think about that athlete that's training for that event or training for that next competition, we see the devotion to their sport. We can see their training and then the way in which they are involved in that rigorous training schedule. We also see it in their diet. For example, an endurance athlete, all the training, the years and years of practice will not overcome forgetting to fuel the engine. Athletes have lost races because they failed to nourish themselves during that race. Paul says, as we read earlier, but I disciplined, I bring my body into subjection. Peter tells us to crave pure milk, spiritual milk, so that we can grow. Our race is one in which we're training and racing at the same time. This race is not in the future. And so we have to have the proper diet. Without the proper diet, without the proper nourishment during this race, we're not going to finish. Philippians, the fourth chapter, says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Look again at that athlete. Who does that athlete surround himself with? People who just want to sit there on the couch and play Game Boy? No. They surround themselves with the right coaches, with the right trainers, with other athletes who have similar goals and similar motivations. Who do we surround ourselves with? Do they have the same goals? Do they have the same motivation? Are they helping you with this endurance? Or are they dragging you back? Are they acting as that weight? We need the proper people to surround ourselves with. And we need the proper diet. Because the race that we're involved in, it's not a sprint. This race is going to take a sustained effort over a very long period of time. In fact, it's going to take a lifetime, however long that life is. Jesus tells us that endurance is necessary. It's a necessary quality. He tells us in Matthew 24, but he who endures to the end, not just endures for a moment, but endures to the end, shall be saved. The reason we need endurance, the Hebrew writer tells us in the sixth chapter, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Also in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. That's why we were doing this. He goes on to say, for in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteousness will live by faith. And he who shrinks back, that's what we don't want to be. We don't want to be the sluggish one. We don't want to be the one who shrinks back. It says, I will not be pleased with him. But we who are of those who do not shrink back, let me back up here, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Hebrew writer goes on to warn us in the third chapter, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Those are the people who don't endure, who can't find a way to endure. But this is why we surround ourselves with the people that are sitting here beside us. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. For we have come to share in Christ, and if we hold firmly to the end the confidence that we first had, just as it has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Because sadly, there are going to be some who won't finish the race. We're told about a few who, at least at the time of the writing, 1 Timothy, did not complete the race. Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I had handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. In the second letter to Timothy, Demas, who loved this present world. These are people who started the race. Finish. We have to find a way to finish the race. But to finish this race, we need to find our focus. We need to find our motivation. If we look back at the text, we find that we can look to Jesus as that focus. And we might glance at others around us. It tells us that great cloud of witnesses that we can see, those people who have gone on before us, the people who are examples to us. Again, chapter 11 of Hebrews is filled with those people who had this kind of faith, an enduring faith. Moses, the one I will remind you of this morning, it says in the 11th chapter in the 26th verse, it says he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to a reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and he persevered. He endured because he saw him who is invisible. Is that how we make it through our days? Do we look for that? Do we look for Jesus in our lives? Are we able to focus on him? In a writing about a formula for scriptural success, there was a few suggestions here I thought would be meaningful for this discussion this morning. It says, if you want to be distressed, then look within. If you want to be defeated, then look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. But if you want to be delivered, then you should look up. Colossians, the third chapter, says, if you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Jesus, he is the author, he is the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. He's blazed the trail for us. As the forerunner, he has already entered into that heavenly sanctuary. He's opened up the new and living way for us. And in fact, he helps us finish this race ourselves. In Hebrews, the 7th chapter, verse 25, it says, therefore, he also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So why do we look to Jesus? Because he succeeded in running this race. He did that by looking at the joy that was set before him. we see that Jesus was able to endure the cross. He was able to endure the shame that men brought upon him. All the emotional and spiritual agony that he had to endure, he did that because he could see the joy that was set before him. Do you see that reward in your life? Do you see that joy? Do you see that peace that's set before us? Do you see how that can help motivate us each and every day of our life? When we have that goal or that reward in front of us, when we see Jesus as the finisher of our faith, we have something to look to. I was reading about ways in which we can push ourselves beyond what we normally think we can. And we talk about, you know, give 100% or give 110% of your effort. And this particular article was saying that because of our minds, we're actually really not able to even give 100%. Our bodies won't allow us to do that. We're able to push beyond what we think we can. And as an example, this man provided a demonstration to this group of people. He set someone up before them and he put a hand weight in this man's hand and had him hold it out in front of the audience, told him to hold it in his right hand for as long as he possibly could, hold his arm up. So after a few seconds, after about 15 seconds, the man brought his arm down and that was all he could hold the weight up. It was for 15 seconds. Then he decided that he wanted him to switch hands and put it in his left hand. He told him this time, he said, you held that weight in your right hand for 15 seconds. I want you to beat that time when you hold it with your left hand. So the man takes it in his left hand, holds out the weight, and as he is holding this weight out, he starts counting for him, telling him, 1, 2, 3. Telling him where he is in his goal to beat that 15 seconds. He winds up holding it for 21 seconds. And it's not because, well, the man was left-handed. In fact, the man was right-handed. He was able to do it because his mind had a goal. His mind's goal was to beat 15 seconds. When he held it in his right hand, he didn't have a goal. It was just hold it up. But if we have a goal in mind, if we have a way in which we can motivate ourselves, we can push ourselves through and we can endure. The question is, have you set that goal out there? Do you have a way in which you can motivate yourself? Where is that nutrition? Where is that diet? Is it on things that are going to help motivate you to push you forward? Or are they things that are just dragging you down, acting as weights? When we consider how we need to be able to endure, we look to Jesus and all that he was able to endure. He endured such hostility from the sinners that were around him, who railed against him. But by meditating on things, meditating on what Jesus was able to do for us, we hopefully can find a way to not become weary, not become discouraged. Because we need to find a way to finish this race with endurance. This morning, in closing, what I'd like to ask is, this race that we're in, are we needlessly carrying around, dragging around weight that we don't need? Are we pulling with us, or are we keeping close to us that sin that continues to ensnare us? We need to remember that we need to find a way to have endurance. We do that by finding the proper diet, nutrition, and training. and to assist us in this endurance is we have that goal set out there. And we need to find a way to focus on Jesus and what Jesus has done. This morning, if you have not obeyed the gospel call and have not put him on in baptism, you're not even registered for the race. The race is going on with or without you, but you're not even eligible for the prize. So the invitation is for you. Those of us perhaps who have already registered, we're in the race, but if we allowed ourselves to grow weary and become discouraged, now's the time to find that motivation again. Now's the time to get back into the race for the work that is in front of us, to no longer be weary, to no longer be discouraged, and find that endurance and that focus on Jesus. This morning, if you are in any way subject to the invitation, we ask that you would come now as we stand and sing.